Picture this. You're on your first solo cross-country. 20 minutes out from your departure airport, you're settled into the cruise. Engine sounds steady. Heading looks right. You're doing a decent job staying ahead of the airplane. And then you glance down at the sectional in your lap, look back up at the terrain ahead, and something doesn't quite match what you expected. Nothing is wrong, exactly, but nothing is exactly certain either. Your instructor mentioned something before you left, flight following. You know it involves talking to ATC. You know there's a frequency for it somewhere, but you can't quite remember how to start the call. And the last thing you want on your first solo cross-country is to fumble the radio and sound like you have no idea what you're doing. So you don't call. You figure it out on your own. The checkpoint eventually shows up. You move on. But for 10 or 15 minutes, you were more alone out there than you needed to be. I'm pattern on traffic pattern here on Radio Hangar. That moment right there is exactly what I want to talk about today, VFR. Flight following is one of the most useful tools a cross-country pilot has, and it is consistently one of the most underused. Student pilots skip it because they're not sure how to ask. Private pilots skip it because they figure they don't really need it. And some pilots don't call because they feel like they'd be tying up a busy controller's time for no good reason. Every one of those reasons is understandable. None of them hold up when you actually think them through. Before we get into it, a shout out to AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, commercial, all of it. A great way to mark the milestones that actually matter. AviationSoul.com. All right, VFR flight following. Let's walk through this together. At its core, VFR flight following is a radar advisory service provided by air traffic control to pilots operating under visual flight rules. That's the language straight from the Aeronautical Information Manual. Here's the practical translation. A controller has your radar return on their scope. They know you're there. They know where you're going. They can call out traffic, issue safety alerts, and be a resource if you need help. Think about what that means from a cross-country standpoint. Without flight following, once you depart a non-towered airport, you are essentially invisible to the ATC system until you call someone. You might have a VFR flight plan open, and that's good, but a flight plan doesn't give anyone real-time eyes on you. It just tells them where you were planning to go. Flight following is the difference between being tracked and being trusted to show up. Now, let's be precise about what flight following provides and what it doesn't. This is where confusion creeps in. Flight following is not IFR service. You are still responsible for your own navigation, your own terrain clearance, your own cloud separation under VFR. A controller providing flight following is not routing you around mountains. They are not going to keep you out of controlled airspace unless they issue you a specific instruction. You are a VFR aircraft receiving radar advisories, and the word advisory matters. The controller is adding situational awareness. They are not adding authority. You are still pilot in command, with everything that comes with it. Flight following is also not guaranteed. ATC can decline the service based on workload, and they can terminate it at any point. In high workload environments, particularly around busy Class Bravo airspace on a Friday afternoon, you may hear unable flight following workload. That is not a rejection of you. It is just the reality of a shared system. Plan your cross-country to work with or without it. Flight following is a layer of safety, not the foundation of your flight. Here's where most discussions of this service get it wrong. They jump straight to the radio call and skip the part that actually sets you up for success. Flight following starts in pre-flight. Before you ever get in the cockpit, you should be identifying the frequencies you'll need along your route. On a VFR sectional chart, look for the magenta boxes near major airports that show approach control frequencies. Those are your terminal contacts. For the en-route portion of a longer trip, you'll be talking to Air Route Traffic Control Centers, which the FAA calls RTCC, and which pilots just call center. Center frequencies are published in the chart supplement, organized by facility and by the geographic sectors they cover. If you're using an electronic flight bag, many of them will show you the relevant frequencies for the airspace along your planned route. The point isn't which source you use. The point is that you're doing this research before the flight, not during it. Write the frequencies on your navigation log. Note them at the top of each leg. Flag where you expect to transition from approach to center. By the time you're airborne, the frequencies should be right in front of you, not something you're scrambling to find while also flying and navigating. Speaking of which, how do you know whether to call approach or center? The short answer is geography and altitude. Approach control handles terminal airspace typically within about 40 miles of a major airport and up to roughly 10,000 or 12,000 feet depending on the facility. Once you're farther out, at cruise altitude in less congested airspace, you're in center's territory. A 2-hour cross-country might start with a departure airport approach facility, transition to center for the middle of the flight, and then shift back to another approach as you close in on your destination. Knowing that sequence before you launch means the handoffs feel routine instead of surprising. All right, you're airborne, you're in cruise, you've got your frequency, now you make the call. The most common mistake student pilots make is front-loading the initial call with too much information before the controller is ready to copy it. Keep the first transmission short. Kansas City approach Cessna 456, Tango request. That's it. You've identified the facility, you've given your tail number, and you've signaled you have something to ask. The controller comes back when they're ready, and that's when you give them the full picture. Cessna 456 Tango is a Cessna 172, currently 15 miles south of Olathe at 4,500 VFR. Request flight following to Columbia Regional Aircraft Type. Your position, your altitude, your destination. That's the core of the call. Some controllers will ask for your route, your intended cruise altitude, or whether you have the current ATIS information for a nearby airport. Just answer what they ask. They'll assign you a transponder code, you'll dial it in. They'll call radar contact, and you're on flight following. If you're a student pilot, say so. Student pilot, request flight following is a legitimate call, and controllers hear it regularly. Most of them will give you a little more room on the frequency once they know you're learning the system. That's not embarrassing. That's how the system is supposed to work. You're building skills. The controllers know that's part of what they do. And don't worry about hitting the phrasing exactly right. The structure matters more than the specific words. Controllers work with all levels of pilot experience every day. If you give them your position, your altitude, and your destination, you've given them what they need. The Airman certification standards for the private pilot practical test include a cross-country flight planning task. Examiners want to see that you understand VFR flight following, what it provides, how you request it, what its limitations are. You don't need to execute a perfect radio call in the oral to satisfy that task. You need to demonstrate that you know this tool exists, you know how to use it, and you know it doesn't replace your own navigation and terrain awareness. Have that answer ready. Once you're on flight following, the main thing to manage is the handoff sequence. As you cross through different sectors, the controller will transfer you to the next facility. That call sounds something like this. Cessna 456 Tango contact, St. Louis Center on 124.75. You read back the frequency, write it down, switch, and check in on the new frequency. St. Louis Center, Cessna 172-456 Tango, 4500 with you. That check-in is not optional. It's how the new controller knows you've completed the switch and should have your data. If you silently move to the new frequency and just listen, you might miss a traffic call, a frequency correction, or a clearance. Always announce yourself when you switch. Here is a small habit that prevents a real problem. Write down the new frequency before you switch. Say it back, then switch. In that order every time? In the cockpit, memory under workload is not reliable. Don't try to hold a new frequency in your head while also confirming your heading and checking your nav log. Write it, then switch. Coverage gaps happen, especially in mountainous areas or at lower altitudes in rural terrain. The controller may come back with Cessna 456 Tango, radar contact lost, resumo navigation, squawk VFR. That means you've dropped off the scope. You're on your own again until coverage resumes, or you reach a new facility. Don't panic when it happens. Dead reckoning and your GPS are still right there. Flight following supplements your navigation skills. It doesn't replace them. The pilots who treat flight following as a substitute for understanding where they are end up in trouble when coverage drops. The pilots who treat it as one additional tool keep flying the airplane. Let's talk specifically about what flight following gives you when it's working. Traffic calls are the most immediate benefit. A controller who says traffic 11 o'clock, 8 miles, northbound, altitude indicates 2,500 is giving you a lead time on that aircraft that your eyes alone may not have at range. You still have to look. The call gives you the approximate direction and distance. Your eyes close the loop. And keep in mind ATC is seeing radar returns and automatic dependent surveillance broadcast targets, or ADS-B. Not every aircraft in the sky is visible to them either. Flight following improves your picture. It doesn't complete it. Safety alerts are rarer, but they're real. If you're tracking toward terrain the controller can see on their scope, or if traffic is closing at a geometry that concerns them, they will call Cessna 456 Tango. Safety alert advise immediate climb terrain. Having someone watching your radar return on a cross-country over unfamiliar terrain has genuine safety value, especially if you're flying in deteriorating visibility or at dusk when your own situational awareness is already being stretched. Weather awareness. Controllers are not meteorologists, but they are talking to aircraft along your route constantly. And those aircraft file pilot reports. If there's been a PIREP of significant turbulence or an active pop-up cell developing ahead of you, that information can come to you through the controller. That is an informal but real benefit of staying connected to the system. And then there's positional confirmation. If you ever find yourself uncertain about where you are, you can ask, 456 Tango, can you give us our position from Colombia? The controller is looking at your radar target. They can give you bearing and distance. That service exists because pilots need it sometimes, and there's no reason to be embarrassed about using it. Here's something I wish someone had drilled into me when I was training. Radio work is a skill that requires repetition to become comfortable. Every time you're on flight following, you're getting that repetition with real controllers in real airspace. By the time you're flying into Class Bravo for the first time or shooting an approach in marginal conditions and trying to manage the radio along with everything else, the frequency will feel like a normal part of the workload because you've done it dozens of times on VFR cross-countries. Build the habit when the flying is easy. It will carry you when it isn't. I want to address the hesitation directly, because I hear it from students all the time. What if I bother a busy controller? What if I tie up an important frequency? Here is the correction. Controllers are there to provide this service. VFR flight following is a published service in the Aeronautical Information Manual. It is not an imposition. It is not taking something from IFR traffic or pushing in where you don't belong. If they can take you, they will. If they can't, they'll tell you. You're not inconveniencing anyone by calling. You are using a tool that was built for you. Now, are there times when flight following isn't worth the coordination? Sure, a short hop between two familiar fields on a calm afternoon with visibility to the horizon might not need it. But on a real cross-country, 2 hours or more over terrain you haven't flown, through airspace you don't know cold, call them. Every time? The habit costs you nothing and the safety margin it adds is not theoretical. One last thing, and this matters. When you land, there are two separate steps to close out your cross-country properly. When you get close to your destination, ATC will terminate your flight following. They'll say something like Cessna 456 Tango, radar service terminated, squawk VFR, frequency change approved. You acknowledge, switch to the arrival frequency or the common traffic advisory frequency for your destination and continue with your arrival. That is not the same as closing your VFR flight plan. Your VFR flight plan stays open until you specifically close it with flight service. You do that on the ground by calling 1-800-WX-BRIEF or through your electronic flight bag. If you don't close it, flight service will eventually initiate a search. That process consumes real search and rescue resources. Close your flight plan every single time. It takes 60 seconds and it is not optional. Today's content draws from the FAA Aeronautical Information Manual, the Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards, and Standard ATC Phraseology Guidance published by the FAA. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Make the call. They're there for you. See you next time.